Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet.
And John is trying to talk in between cookie bites.
You should have a cookie too.
What kind of cookie are they?
These are chocolate chip.
They're just plain chocolate chip?
Yeah, chocolate chip.
Hell yeah, man.
We're going to need these cookies today because something...
We're at the bottom of the cookies.
Only barely.
Come on, what is your problem,
Oh my god.
You can't cook cookies?
Are you going to eat the free cookie or not?
Oh yeah, we're going to eat the cookie, but still, it's the principle behind it. You burnt a cookie.
You know what? We're going to complain about so much other stuff this show. Stop complaining about the fucking cookies. So, Nintendo revealed the Switch. They revealed a lot of things. Price, release date, all sorts of stuff.
Pan. Go on.
God damn it. I didn't know you were such a cookie dilettante. Because it's learning something about you new about you every show.
I mean, seriously.
It's a good cookie.
It's not like a steak and you want to get a little burnt because you kind of char in it. No, it's a freaking cookie.
You don't want to burn your steak? What are you talking about?
Some people like them well done.
No, you want it still cold on the inside. That's a mistake.
Still mooing?
Yeah.
Bloody as hell?
Just eat a cow alive. It's fine. So, we're going to...
I haven't done this.
We're going to actually get on topic here, and we're going to talk about as much stuff as we feel like talking about from the Nintendo Switch presentation, and some of the Treehouse stuff will also probably come up. I did briefly consider doing like a solo show immediately after the presentation, but immediately after the presentation, I was like, I don't have
any. I'm too angry right now. I'm literally shaking with rage.
And you're here and you're available the next day, so we might as well just fucking wait. So I watched a bunch of the Treehouse stuff, and I'll have more informed.
You can try to post this tonight or tomorrow.
Depends on how long we go and how many racial slurs we make, because those will have to be edited out. And. Okay, so
now you got my mind working.
So how many can I come up with? How many different ways can I insult the Irish? So, okay.
Let's, they insult themselves.
There's one. Well done. Okay. Let's start here. You have watched the entire Switch presentation as well.
A little bit.
Let's give it a grade. What would you grade it?
Okay, I'll cook it in out.
Yep. Caught you off guard here.
Yep. All right. I give it a B.
Yeah? Okay.
Give it a B.
I would probably give it a B minus, bordering on a, like, real close to that C mark. And here's why. I'll get into some specifics as we go here. But
C's aren't bad. I always strive for C's in high school.
They really needed an A plus here. They really needed to knock it out of the park, show off a ton of games.
The Wii U, ever since the Wii had huge sales because it was new. It was cool. It had all the new stuff.
It appealed to a lot of people.
It drastically changed gaming.
It was on fucking Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
No.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Wii U, it's kind of like, who gives a fuck? Like, nobody really cared about the Wii U. It didn't...
Again, this was an error in messaging, mostly.
Yeah.
There are still people who aren't quite sure what a Wii U is. I think it's an accessory to the Wii. And it's a huge problem from the beginning that Nintendo was never able to get out the message like, this is something different.
Fucking casuals.
Yeah. And they never recovered from that. And because they were never able to move many consoles, they lost what little third-party support they had to begin with, and they ended up making games by themselves, essentially, with a few other games from people here and there.
So they're coming out with this console, and I see they're doing a lot of things to try to get a lot of... kind of like with the Wii, they're trying to do that sort of thing. Kind of make it like a fun party thing. Like, oh, the parents are over, or oh, we're at
but
this
I don't,
thing, and let's play a game,
but
guys.
I don't think I mean, anyone...
Nobody's really going to do that kind
of
shit.
I don't think anyone was expecting how much of a party system they were actually going to make this. It seemed like what everyone was expecting, what a lot of people were wanting, was just this straight-up console you can take on the go with you.
Yes, which is a cool concept.
And come to find out is that those Joy-Cons have a lot of extra shit in there
mm-hmm.
that aren't necessary for core games, but they're like, let's just get it started right here with the Joy-Cons. Got gyroscope
well,
and accelerometer.
Before we do this, they went on about the Joy-Cons, and there was nothing about the actual system capabilities.
Right. Well, they never talk about hardware specs.
But still, I mean, how powerful is this thing? It's just a little bit bigger of like a DS. I mean... DS XL. I mean,
again,
how tough is this thing?
We won't know until they actually do release some hardware specs, and that usually comes in the form of a press release or someone like going actually opening the damn thing up and looking under the hood, so to speak. with these Nintendo systems, they never talk about horsepower. They never really done that since like the N64. But they, what we do know is it runs Breath of the Wild, so it is at least as powerful as a Wii U, and it is also going to run Skyrim Remastered. So it has capability to do that as well. What we can infer from that, you know, not anything really incredibly specific. Because, like I mentioned at the top of the show, they really didn't show too many games at this particular presentation, which is exactly what they needed to do. They did such a good job of showing people what makes this sort of hybridization of a console on the go cool in like a 3-minute video. That video was so good about communicating, this is what this console is, and this is why you're going to want it, because you can take it anywhere with you.
Oh yeah, completely broke it down. Which, I mean, in this conference, they went so much into the Joy-Con, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
We learned all the nitty-gritty stuff about the Joy-Cons and everything like that, but we already knew what we're getting into with the console. We were already prepped for that. We're like, okay, it snaps on the sides, now it's a Game Boy. I get one, we could play a game together. Oh, look at all this motion shit. Like, we got it.
They had already sold the console. What they needed to do was then show off a ton of games. They needed to show people what they're going to be playing, especially between the months of March and June up until E3.
Which, it seems to me, I don't know if you would think this, but it seems to me that they're trying to get this out quick. But, the console's prepared. The console's ready.
Much quicker than I thought they would. Like, March 3rd.
Like, they're trying to get this out.
That's 40 days away.
But it sounds like they're not giving the developers time. Because even the previews for some of the big games are like, here's this, like, they could have just hung posters around it, but just as efficient.
Yeah. And with Suda 50, videos. With Suda 51, it essentially was a poster that he was up there next to. And we'll get into, like, game specifics in a minute here. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It seems that like some key people that they want to partner with are just getting started working with the system. And that is a problem, because if Nintendo cannot carry the system with what support they have through the first couple of years, if the system doesn't sell well, all those games that, you know, are talked about being planned at this particular Switch presentation, they're not going to exist. They're going to get canceled. They're going to go the way of Scalebound. Bye bye.
Seems like they're really counting on Breath of the Wild to carry them for the first few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's coming out with launch.
We'll get to that.
Let's go on about the Joy-Con.
Well, we'll get into launch window stuff. But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. That is the game.
Yeah.
And the one issue, and this only appeals to like people who are really like hardcore Nintendo fans. You can also get that on your Wii U. So yeah. you can spend $360-$370 on a Switch and Breath of the Wild, or you can spend $60 to get on the Wii U. Unless you're really invested in the hardware, what motivation do you have to be like, yes, I need this right away, if that's the one game you need it for?
I mean, I don't know.
What's that?
I'm waiting. I'm giving it some time.
Yeah.
Cool down to see what's coming up. I mean, I never got my hands on a Wii U, but I'm kind of happy I didn't.
Oh, you never got to play Breath of the Wild.
Well, which was not good. I will.
I mean, and for you personally, like there might be a handful of things you'd be interested in the Wii U, but like Bayonetta 2, I think you'd probably like.
Maybe.
Hyrule Warriors, you liked.
Yeah, Hyrule
Warriors. But, you know, everybody's different. We're going to play the shit out of Fire Emblem Warriors.
Oh, we're going to play the shit out of that game.
But anyway, Joy-Cons. So, I mean, and it's not that I'm opposed to them taking this sort of approach with the Joy-Cons like they do with Wii remotes. Like, the tech looks legit cool. Yeah. It is, of course, going to function better than a Wii remote. It has that infrared camera that, like, detects your position as well as distance. And they showed off, like, that game 1-2 Switch, which we'll talk about. And the different ways that infrared sensor will affect gameplay in these little mini-games. But to me, like, I'm fine with them having those there accessible for casual experiences. The core experiences aren't going to use it all that much.
No.
Because like motion in games is fine for like small little tweaks and adjustments and
yeah, things here and there if you're only going to play for a little bit. But for the serious gamer that's going to sit there and put a couple of hours into the game, I don't want to sit there and slash with my sword with my wrist. I mean, dear God, and
We play games because we're not athletic.
Yeah, wear a brace for it. Get carpal tunnel or something like that. I mean, shit.
Yeah. But the
Although that's not how you get carpal tunnel. That was whatever. You know, you got my point.
We're not doctors.
We're not doctors.
We're not athletes, nor are we doctors. So,
although my muscles are ripped. I'm very buff.
I know, you walk shirtless everywhere.
When you got abs like mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a 10-pack is what it is.
Yeah. Which I probably should get that checked because I think that's against medical possibilities.
You got cancer.
Well, that's what that is. The extra four abs are tumors.
Cancer, yeah.
Oh, great.
Abs aren't supposed to be lumpy. So, I think the coolest thing about those Joy-Cons, and they didn't really spend too much time with it, which it's something you really ought to experience to understand, is that HD rumble. Mm-hmm. And that was that thing that they did. They illustrated, like, hey, you can feel as if it's a glass with one ice cube in it. Now you can feel as if it's two ice cubes in it. And that tech looks cool as shit.
It does.
I don't know the practical application for it, but, like, rumble technology really hasn't changed all that much. Like, you can get more intense rumble, you can get less intense rumble, you can get louder rumble. But the actual force feedback hasn't changed much since the N64.
I mean, it could be something along the lines of, like, for a gameplay experience, an actual application towards it. It could be something along the lines of something's creeping up on you, something big, and so the rumbling is changing based on how close it gets to you,
sure.
For instance. Or it could be a vibration in something. Like, you can use it for, like, I'm trying to think of certain games where they do
it's
like a sensor or something. You're trying to find something getting closer, like a metal detector. It shakes or vibrates more if you're getting closer.
Or if you're playing a drinking game, you can see how many ice cubes are in the fucking... I don't know what the application or something like that is, but it looks cool.
Yeah.
So, the game that they showed off to fully illustrate these sort of Wii Remote-esque functionalities to the Joy-Con was 1-2 Switch, which is a collection of WarioWare-esque mini-games. Mm-hmm. And I did watch the Treehouse presentation of this game, and they played for like 20 minutes. They showed a lot of different modes. They showed like a mode where... this is a game that is... One person is holding one Joy-Con, the other person is holding another one. If you found our little podcast on the internet, you've seen the Nintendo presentation. You know what this game is. There's one that they showed where you're supposed to be like samurai, and one person is holding like a Joy-Con, like it's a sword, and they're supposed to like slash down the other person's head. And the other person is holding the other Joy-Con, and they're supposed to clap when they think the pretend sword would be right above their head.
Oh, okay.
And it's cool because it's all about like timing, and you can kind of like fake the other person out.
Confused with that.
Yeah. So, it's all in your imagination. And to me, like, the whole concept of 1-2 Switch is at least interesting because it's taking the video out of video games, and now you just have a game.
It sounds like a different kind of tweak on those really early computer games where it was just all words, like, take left
here. Oh, text adventures.
Yeah, text adventures. Sounds like a text adventure. Like a new version of a text adventure.
Yeah, a more like kinetic text adventure game. But then they showed like the draw one.
It's kind of like they're going backwards.
Which was like when they first, like when that video started with the two cowboys and they were going to have a duel.
Which when I saw
it
that
was
video,
so drawn out. Oh my God, it lasted so long.
God, I hate you so much.
I know.
I kid you not, I was sitting in my store watching this video, and when that cowboy came on, that first shot of him, I don't know why, but I thought, how did they get Matthew McConaughey to do this? It just looks like him with a beard at first.
He like shows up on set, so am I selling Lincolns today? No, I'm out.
I'm out. And the other guy was like, is that Jeff Bridges? Which, I would watch the shit out of that movie. Jeff Bridges and Matthew McConaughey or Cowboys.
Yeah, that's a 1-2 punch right there.
That'd be amazing.
So, and I'm trying to think of like the other little mini games that they showed off at 1-2 Switch. Like, nothing's
are
coming to mind.
Are you going to save cookies for your wife?
No, she doesn't want any.
What?
Yeah, I know. No, it's weird.
That's all right.
Do it. Get another cookie.
I'll have enough. Oh my gosh, this one burnt more than the other one.
Keep complaining about the cookie. Trade it for a different one. I don't care.
I think they're all pretty burnt.
Ugh.
All right, whatever.
Oh my God.
Just eat this one, whatever. Ugh. After I touch all your cookies.
So begrudging.
Find the one I want.
All right. So, did you have anything else you want to say about 1-2 Switch?
It's not going to be a released with it game.
No, it is. It is a sold separately units.
Stupid. Mm-hmm. Very stupid. Especially if they're going to release it at the typical price point, like $60. Like, who would spend that for this game? That's idiotic.
It's rough. I don't want to, like, make any judgments about what people spend on their video games. 1-2 Switch, to me, even though the tech looks cool, it is tech demo type stuff. Yeah. So it's something that I think, like,
should be like Wii Sports.
It would great, yeah, it would benefit them more to have it bundled with the system than it would to have it separately, I think. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion of this game. I think that if they treated it like a Wii Play situation where it came bundled with an extra, like a couple extra Joy-Cons.
Okay, in that case, that would be good.
I don't know that they're going to do that.
That would be good, though. That would make sense.
But I don't know, just as a sold separately thing, it doesn't look to have the sort of depth that I personally want out of a video game to make it something that I am immediately interested in picking up. So, with that in mind, we never talked about like some other hardware specific stuff. So let's take a step back and talk about March 3rd release date.
If I take a step back, I'm in the wall.
Yeah. I see what you did there. I didn't like it. The release date, March 3rd, sooner than certainly I was expecting. I thought we would be looking at like a mid-March.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by that.
But yeah, we're like 40 days away from the Switch release, and we're just finding out about the launch line, if you believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the other thing, we got the price tag, $299. I think it's a little bit steeper than a lot of people were hoping for. I think people were really hoping for that $250.
Yeah.
Or I think like $199 was people pipe dreaming. There's no fucking
way. No, there's no way that was going to happen.
So, and you know, I've seen a lot of people commenting like, okay, you can get a Switch for $299 and the game comes separately. And right now you can get like Xbox One for $300 and it comes with the game. You can do the same with a PS4, it comes with the game. I think that they are in a tough position because whether they like to admit it or not, they are competing with other hardware that is out there. And I think the proposition of this is $200 and it comes with a game, even though to me the console is worth that, it's tough to go up against these other consoles because you're intercutting mid-life cycle here. Even if you are saying this is something that is brand new, this did not come out at the same time, I think a lot of, like, especially casual customers will expect parity with the other systems. Like, well, I can get this Nintendo system or I can get this Sony or Microsoft system for the same price and they come with a game. So, you know, horsepower notwithstanding, we won't comment on because we don't know anything specific yet. The fact that they really have to, I think they really had to have a presentation where they really emphasized that this thing is, that the key differentiator is that you can take it with you and look at all these games we have here that you can take with you. That, to me, would have been much more valuable out of, hey, look at all the cool stuff these Joy-Cons can do. And they can do cool stuff, but they really needed to sell games. And they didn't. They sold games to me, which I appreciate, but I don't think anyone else is going to be out there looking for Disgaea 5, which is like a port of a 2-year-old PS4 game.
Was that on there?
Disgaea 5 is a launch window game. That was not in the presentation.
Okay, I was about to say, I did not see that. Mm. See, they did it really well for the devoted fans, but they didn't do enough to bring in newcomers or those who are kind of on the wall about it. I mean, those kind of people, I hate saying this like me because I'm in a fucking Nintendo podcast and I do really like Nintendo, but people like me, that's
you
a primary...
Own, you own a DS, you own a 3DS.
I own a 3DS and a Wii. But right. People like me who are mostly PS4 computer gamers, you're not going to bring me in with that kind of stuff.
And see, and I've always maintained that they weren't going to bring in that sort of audience with the same thing that was going to come out on every system. Like if they weren't
Raichu, my bad. I called it. I said the name.
we can talk about the competitors on this particular show.
Okay, cool.
Going forward, well, when we get out of the Switch discussion, we'll censor ourselves again.
We haven't censored ourselves in a while.
That's because they haven't come up in a while.
Oh, okay.
But we tend to ignore that competition exists. But it does, right, exactly. Yeah, the Jigglypuff. We don't want anyone selling.
Well, at this point, I thought it was a Wigglytuff at this point.
Well, it's current gen right now, so it becomes a Jigglypuff.
So the default?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah. That's how we've always done. Like the previous one is the Igglybuff. The current one is the Jigglypuff. And then when they announce fucking Xbox 2. it will become the that will become the Wigglytuff until it is released. Then it becomes the Jigglypuff.
Okay, so I have to call the PS4 a Pikachu now.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the PS5 will be a Raichu until it's released. If they release one, we'll see what happens. They might just continue this incremental stuff.
The company just closes down. All right, we've done enough.
I mean, I don't want to make myself feel too good about the competition struggling here, but in light of the recent Switch event, I need to feel a little bit better about someone sucking. Microsoft, there's a recent piece that went up. I think it was on US Gamer, and they for some reason were taking a dig at Microsoft. I don't think it was like intentionally meant to be inflammatory, but they were talking about after the cancellation of Scalebound, they're like, hey, just so that everyone knows. Like, half the games that Microsoft announced at their 2014 E3 have been canceled.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I don't pay attention to Microsoft X.
I have a passing interest in seeing what everyone else is up to. We won't get into a talk of the state of the industry right now, but there's plenty of other podcasts out there. Actually, the Nintendo World Report podcast, RFN, they've done a pretty good job of just over the past couple of months just examining the state of the industry, including things like software sales and what it means for like AAA game development as a whole. They have that topic pretty well covered. Anything I would say about it, just be repeating that, so I won't.
Fair enough.
But let's talk about the Switch. So, the price tag, $299. And I think we've all covered that. There was a piece of really good news that came out of this. Like the release date, really good news. Price point.
It's fine news. It's fine. They're keeping up with the competitors. They're selling at $299. Let's sell ours at $299.
It's not $350. It is not $400.
That's good.
I was totally bracing myself for $400. I was ready for them to be like, and it's going to be released for $399.99.
And you're going to drop in your kitchen day one and break it. As you're cooking naked above your stove.
Which I always do. You have to cook naked on a stove.
Yeah, of course. Don't have the oven on as well, because that's just like
you
radiation
have
to your
oven.
Junk. That's
ovens,
just terrible. You don't have any clothing to buffer that. It's just pure...
The radiation that ovens give off. There's nothing microwave. Like,
you already have two kids. You don't need a third.
It's
you're
true.
Fine.
I don't need a third. That's a very good point. The other piece of really good news that came out of this was that it's region-free. Which is great.
That's new. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because the original DS was region-free, but up until this point, all Nintendo home consoles have been region-locked by one method or another. But yeah, I mean, they're opening themselves up to more of a global market at this point, which is a good thing. Like, nothing really bad is going to come out
we
of them.
You can get that game where you put the Nintendo controller into a pair of underwear.
Super Pee Pee Brothers. We can't, because the Wii is still region-locked.
Oh, shit. All right,
and this thing is not going to be backwards compatible.
Shit.
I mean, it uses cartridges. It can't be backwards compatible.
That's a good point.
I'm just like trying to jam a Wii U disc in there. I want to play Wonderful 101. So, oh, and the last bit of just general hardware stuff is that the online service is going to be free until about September. And then they're going to a paid subscription service, which is par for the course at this point. Everyone charges for an online service. So.
I just hope they add something to it, like PS... God damn it, the Pikachu.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
Ugh.
So you got Jigglypuff Live, and you got Pikachu Plus.
Pikachu Plus, which I have
Come with free games.
You get free games every month. You're like, hey, download this. This is yours. Here you go.
They're not always tremendous games, but they're free games.
No, like I got this one like space fighter thing, which is pretty cool. It had some cool ideas. I didn't get very far in it.
Affordable Space Adventures?
No.
That would be a cool giveaway.
You would like this game, though, John.
Okay.
I
do like space.
But, yeah, the little things here and there. I got to look into it. It's been a while since I looked.
So here's the thing.
And discount games. Right now,
all they've announced for their online subscription service is that you will get, I can't remember if it's both or either or, but an NES game and a Super Nintendo game that is yours to play for that month, and then it goes away.
Okay, that's just stupid.
Get your shit together.
That's just plain stupid.
Because that is not parity with the other systems.
I mean, those are old games.
Yeah.
Just get them. Just give it up.
Right, right.
I will find a fucking emulator online if I got to.
At this point, Etsy, I think that if they did, just give you, like, here's a couple of Super Nintendo games. You get these for having, like, I think two or three Super Nintendo games, or like a couple of Super Nintendo games and an NES game, like three games, or heaven forbid, an N64 game. Just here, have these every month. I think that is tremendously valuable, and even more so than just a grab bag of whatever that you get from PS Plus and Xbox Live. And not to say they give away garbage games, they don't. But if you have this system, this Nintendo system, it's like, hey, every month you sign up for online,
a lot of them are garbage. It's free.
Yeah, right. But and if the first month you get for free for signing up with their online service, like Ocarina of Time, A Link to the Past, and Legend of Zelda NES, like, here, have fucking three Zelda games for signing up for online. That has a lot of value.
Yeah, that's great.
This is something that they need to take a long, hard look at and see what people value. Because if you have not yet made enough money off of A Link to the Past, maybe you need to re-examine that business model. I'm all for games having value and maintaining their value over the duration of time, but it's not like you're really giving it away for free. People are giving you money for this online service, which you currently don't charge for, that you will be charging for, and you're giving them game out of this backlog. You've probably sold 30 million of this game across all platforms. Like,
yeah.
This giving away retro games should be nothing for Nintendo at this point. They give it away free with everything. Fuck it. You pre-order this game, have a fucking...
You're giving us money, here's a little thank you. I mean, it's not tough.
I mean, and they did also, in relation to their online presence, they're going to be charging for it. They're also going to make it easier to message and talk with friends. They said something about, like, a phone app that you can use in conjunction with your Nintendo Switch, which to me just makes it sound like, hey, use Skype. but here's the thing. Here's why I think that it makes sense to have this separate app for like friend communication, because then you can set it up. If you're on the go, you don't have to take out your Switch and rely on a Wi-Fi spot. You have to take into account the portability of the system. So if you can access your friends list and send message to your friends, or like send a chat message to your friend without having to boot up your system, I think that's a good thing. And also, if you're in an area, if you want to play a game on the go and there's a Wi-Fi spot, but there's not a whole lot of bandwidth, and you just want to use your phone mobile data to do your communicating, there you go. Now you're not like throwing, like making a muddy internet connection.
I thought you were making it sound like it's like an app that's running on the system with the game.
No, it's going to have some sort of smartphone integration.
Oh, wow, that's
like,
weird.
Yeah, take your smartphone. And I think it makes sense for the mobile aspects. Hopefully they have a solution set up also, like, out of the box, just for, like, online play and chatting or messaging your friends just at your home out of the box. So you're not also setting up your phone at home. Systems should just be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But as a portable solution... Playing on the go.
So. I mean, I
think it makes sense.
Online gaming that's so big with the Pikachu and the Wiggly and the Jigglypuff, whatever. I mean, it's so simple. You just turn on a game, boom, you're chatting with somebody.
I think
there's nothing to it.
And I think the Wii U was almost there. I think that the biggest drawback of the Wii U is if you were playing a game, a friend couldn't message you and say, hey, you're playing this, can I jump in? Or, hey, you're playing this, I'm online now too, do you want to switch over to this?
Mm-hmm.
You actually had to, like, go to your friends list and check your messages. Which would pop up,
but you would have to do that on the Pikachu. I mean, it would pop up, bloop, bloop, you got a message.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see, like, a brief thing of it, but if I wanted to actually read it, I'd have to go into it and stuff like that.
Right, but at least it alerted you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But the Wii U did.
No.
Oh, that's bullcrap.
No, you get, like, this blue flashing light when a friend would jump online. But they could be watching a movie. And you'd have exit to your friends list.
The other upside of doing it to a mobile phone kind of option, or if they could just do it in a method where it was a separate thing running in the background while you're playing a game, is also for things like, for instance, I do some PC gaming, and now and then I'll hop on a program called Discord. And then, like, Mitch or Corey or some of my other friends and everything will hop on. I'm like, hey, dude, how you doing? And, like, it even says, like, it'll say my name in the corner, and it'll say what game I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just talk to them while I'm playing my own thing and just doing my own thing. I mean, you could do that sort of stuff. If they made it so you could do that as well on actual console, they're like, oh, I'm playing Dark Souls right now. What are you up to? Well, I'm just playing Call of Duty. I'm like, oh, you casual. just kind of stuff like that. That'd be really cool.
I don't think I've ever finished my point earlier. Like, I when getting back to the software, I don't think what they needed to do was roll out there and say, look, here's Call of Duty, here's Assassin's Creed, here's Madden. I don't think they're going to win over anybody by saying we now have these games on our system too. I think they needed to show unique content or things running in a unique way.
Should we actually get to the games?
Yeah, let's get to the games.
We've been rambling about little things.
Because they didn't show something that would be super appealing to a hardcore PlayStation or Xbox gamer. I don't think they did anyway.
No.
But what they did...
They show things that are very appealing to the diehard Nintendo fans.
They had Zelda and Mario there.
And the Mario game looks really cool.
Which were big. Yeah, Mario Odyssey does look really cool. Like, they had a really great trailer for it. It looked really fun. It looks like 3D Mario going back to, like, the Mario 64
your
and Mario
Your hat has gained sentience.
Yeah, your hat is alive. It has eyes. You can jump
Thank
off
God
of it like a platform.
Thank God it doesn't have teeth, because then it'd be biting into your head all day.
Maybe it does. Maybe that's how
that's
it stays on.
That's not good.
But, like,
Mario finally saves Peach. Mario, why do you have those streaks of blood coming out of your scalp? Don't mind that.
It was a hard fought battle. But, like, he can, like, throw his hat as a weapon. Bowser can, like, apparently has this white top hat and he can throw that as a weapon.
He also showed this other really cool concept where you're trying to cross a big gap. You could throw your hat, jump on it, and then get across.
Look, and this is a platform.
That's fantastic. That was an awesome idea when I saw that.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the game looks beautiful. It is a little weird to see
Mario in the real world.
Yeah, Mario sitting next to normal people. Which is something that Miyamoto has said in the past. Like, we don't have Mario in the real world because he's proportioned funny and he looked funny next to real people. And you say, like, yeah. Yeah, he does.
He does. Like, he looks like a fucking gremlin. I don't understand.
There must be...
Like, jump rope with real people, like...
There must be some sort of conceit as to why they're actual, like, real humans there and not just, like, Mushroom Kingdom people or, like, Mario Sunshine people. Like, why go with, like, human character models? Why not, like, have some sort of weird Mario character?
This
isn't game-breaking stuff. Like, this isn't, like, I will not play a game with real people. It is, silly.
No, it just seems so odd. I feel like the cops should pull over. Why is that very small, very vibrant plumber man playing jump rope with little girls? This seems creepy.
Were they little girls, though? I thought they were like...
Were they? I don't know.
Mario would be very, very short if that were the case.
He was such a tiny person in the real world. I mean, just...
I don't know, dude, because the game looks awesome.
It does look good.
Yeah.
It does look good.
And that, coupled along with Breath of the Wild, which... Had a really great trailer. A lot of people are
and
falling
they saved
themselves
it for
over.
The very end, the very, very end. It was the last thing you saw.
Zelda has voice acting. But, you know, the first time I saw this trailer, I was totally glossing over, like they're showing all these characters and they're interacting with each other and Zelda's really sad for some reason. And they're all talking, except for Link. Everyone, like, there's voice acting in this Zelda game.
I was sitting there, like, waiting. I'm like, if Link says a word, I'm going to lose my shit I'm going to fucking kill somebody.
And this was the end of the conference. So at this point, like, if this game is coming out any later than March 3rd, they are fucked. So I was like, show the release date, show it. It's got to be March 3rd. It has to be March 3rd. And it is coming out March 3rd. If it was not, like, that would be it. They would be sunk.
They even said, I think, in a holiday.
Spring 2017.
They would have 1-2 Switch.
Yeah, they'd have 1-2 Switch. Well,
that's it. Here's
the rest of the launch lineup. And right now, launch lineup, they're considering March. Like, not all these will necessarily be day and date with the system. Breath of the Wild, 1-2 Switch. Some game called Snipper Clips, which is from Nintendo.
I want nothing to do with that.
That
sounds terrible.
Oh
my god.
Did you ever play that WiiWare game? Did I ever show you that one called Bonsai Barber? There are these vegetables, and you use the Wiimote to, like, trace your scissor path and give them haircuts. It was silly, and it was dumb, and it was weird, and I got it free through Club Nintendo one time.
See, it'd be cool if there were chia pets. And you could get, like, the Obama chia pet.
Is that a thing?
That is actually a thing.
That's delightful.
I believe that's actually a thing.
If it's not, it's going to be by the end of the show.
The Obama chia pet.
But Super Bomberman R, which is a game from Konami, which I watched the Treehouse presentation. That game, you know, it looks like Bomberman. It looks cool.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that is, like...
It looks like a traditional Bomberman.
Yeah, whether or not I buy that is going to depend on... like how deep the game goes, like how many levels, how much I can get out of it. Because I'm totally willing to spend some money on a Bomberman game if it looks I'm going to get a lot out of it. Skylanders Imaginators, who cares? Just Dance 2017, who cares? And then a couple of smaller games. One called Has-Been Heroes. Has-Been, like you're all washed up. It's an RPG. This one's called from Frozen Byte, who they whatever would the other stuff they did is escaping me right now. But it's a nice looking game. It kind of looks like a line defense RPG. I was at work while I was watching the presentation of this game. I was doing some other stuff, so I'm not 100% sure how it works. But it's at least on my radar. I'll take a look at it when it comes out. I assume it's going to be a digital download. Then the other one, this one's from Square Enix. It's called I Am Setsuna. And this one, I think I briefly mentioned it on a previous show. This is a Square Enix RPG that's heavily inspired by Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
So this one's absolutely on my radar. I'll probably be picking that one up when it was released. So going into the launch window, you have games like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is April 28th. So like almost 2 months after the launch of the system. But like Mario Kart 8, they didn't show much of it at the presentation. I think you saw little clips, but they also have, would you stop staring at the fucking picture? Yes. What are you doing?
Oh yeah, I forgot you had that scar in your eyebrow. I found an old like high school picture of John just lying in this room. I don't even know why.
I think it was like 16 or 17 in
that picture. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah,
it's hilarious. Let's get back on. Oh my God, get back
on
board.
It's so good. Sorry, ADD.
So we have like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. They didn't show too much of that in the actual presentation. They showed it in the Treehouse Live event. That one's out April 28th. And they showed off a battle mode, which was something that a lot of people want from Mario Kart. And it's in there, and it looks like it's going to be functional enough. I never really played too much battle mode.
Nah, I played a little bit of
it. So, I mean, I'll probably get Mario Kart just because me and Dez like to race.
Good way to
win a bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good way to like, win an argument as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, I'm not taking the kids to school today. All right, let's
No one's going to school today. We're going to race Mario Kart.
We're going to race Mario Kart.
And they have extra racers. Squidling Boy and Squidling Girl from Splatoon are now in Mario Kart. Which, all right. The big one, though, is Dry Bones is back in.
Oh,
this,
good.
This is the most important. This is the most important announcement. Even more important than the Zelda release date. Like, we needed Dry Bones back in Mario Kart. Yeah, it had to happen.
It's about freaking time. Because I mean, I can't remember any other character that's been fought over as much as Dry Bones.
Dry Bones is great.
Dry
He's
Bones
the best.
Is amazing. Shit, who's gonna get Dry Bones now?
Me. It's my system. I'm getting Dry Bones.
Fuck. But what if I bring my own system?
Well, then you can play as Dry Bones.
Well, if you Dry Bones.
If you buy a Switch, I will concede Dry Bones to you.
Totally worth it.
Well, let's talk about
Dry Bones.
The second game they showed in the presentation, ARMS, is also out in the launch window, spring 2017. I would guess that this one's probably a May game. And this one, I think that they took the wrong approach to announcing this. Because they talked about this right after 1-2 Switch. And like, here's a game that's going to be essentially more hardcore. Like, this is more of a traditional game for traditional gamers. Watch us play it like Wii Boxing. And I think that sent the wrong message. Because they're saying, like, this game has depth. Watch us fling our hands around a bit. And that's not to undermine how intricate the motion controls may or may not be for that game. It probably functions really well. But I think people would have been much more interested in this game is if they said, okay, this is our motion game. Here's another game. It's a brand new IP that we're working on. And they pull up, they bust out a traditional controller, and they show how traditional controls work with this one-on-one fighting game with destructible environments and varied arenas and varied characters with different powers and techniques. And different techniques that you can use in battle using environmental hazards to your advantage. And those are things that they showed in the Treehouse presentation. But not everyone stuck around to watch the Treehouse presentation.
Yeah, because they did this reveal for these games. They even before, the guy, who was the guy talking like the whole time? The old guy.
Oh, Kimishima?
Yeah, who's that guy?
He's the president of Nintendo right now.
All right, he's like the top dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the guy.
He's out there doing his thing. He's like, here's, no. It wasn't him that did it. It was the other guy who did the weird magic trick crap.
He was idiotic.
Like, oh, look at that. It's a magic trick.
I forget his name. I'll look
that's
it up.
That's cut. And that's all film. He's not actually doing that.
he's from Nintendo Software Planning.
Yeah, whatever.
I forget who his name is.
Because he was like, here's these two games. And the way that they were revealed, as a person watching this, you know, like everybody else, dear God, that was a dumb thing to say. But
there were no sheep watching this.
There's no sheep watching this. So I'm watching this.
As a human watching this.
And it seemed like these were kind of like bundle games, even. It seemed like these are little things. Because back in the day of the Wii, we had Wii Sports on a release with it. And then 1-2 Switch seems like that kind of game. And then they immediately go into this boxing game without any kind of like real build-up.
I think they undersold
explanation.
It.
Yeah, they really did. They made it seem like, oh, maybe this is a boxing aspect of the game. Like they just replaced Wii Boxing, but no, this game is actually very in-depth. It's its own standalone game. It's actually a legitimate, solid game.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look pretty cool, but their reveal and execution of the display seemed stupid. They're using it as a way to sell the system again, because they're like, hey, look what I can do if I turn my character, and then if I punch Al, he punches.
Remember
which,
all the
I don't know why they had a grown man fighting a little girl. That was just fucked
seemed
up.
Seemed weird. And then, like, if you punch and then twist your wrist, like, your punches will curve and stuff. Which, to me, like, this is, like, a legit interesting technique for a fighting game. Because you're at a distance, you have the potential of dodging enemy attacks, but they also have the ability to predict your dodges.
They're using the game to sell the system, opposed to just trying to sell the game.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
That's what they were doing that.
And I don't
and
I
again,
don't disagree.
They should not have shown the little girl being punched by a grown ass man. That's just
we don't know
him.
That.
That's just wrong.
That little girl might have been a dick. We don't know.
Oh, that's a good point. Could be like the girl with Kill Bill. They had like the ball with the spikes.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah, but you never seen
Kill Bill? I saw Kill Bill once years ago.
Dude, it's Kill Bill.
Yeah, I know. I think
people get chopped in half with a karate sword.
Tarantino's a pop culture junkie, loudmouth with an overactive imagination. I mean, I liked Reservoir Dogs just fine. Pulp Fiction was fine. Like, I liked
I really
that
liked Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I don't think it's the be all end all of filmmaking like some people treat it. But we're not talking about
Quentin
Tarantino.
It's not Royale with cheese. But... All right, let's go.
He's fucking obsessed with that bullshit. Who cares what a quarter pounder is called anywhere else? Who gives a shit? Where were we? We're talking about ARMS.
We're talking about ARMS.
Do we want to talk about anything else about ARMS?
It looks good. I don't think it'd be a game, if I get a Switch, I wouldn't get it at, like, the release price point. I'd be wait till it goes down a little bit. But you know how Wii games are. They don't really go down.
No, Nintendo games don't lose value.
Which is kind of bullshit.
But for fuck's sake, Wii U's are still $299.
This is like, absolute nonsense.
There are no price cuts in the world of Nintendo.
Just drop your price a little bit. You'll make some money. You're just sitting on these games now. Nobody's gonna be buying these games at fucking $40 still. God, the game's 3 years old. It's fine.
It's true. at a certain point,
they don't drop the price until they do Game of the Year edition.
Like a Player's Choice.
Nintendo Selects. That's what.
Yeah, they ditched Player's Choice after the GameCube. I don't know why I like Player's Choice, but I agree with you that at a certain point, you would see, like, you'd actually get software moving. And it's this balancing act between valuing your software library and, like, hey, this is something that is still good, it is still valuable. But at a certain point, you want more people playing your stuff because you get people to buy your stuff. It's like, okay, what else is there? And then you get them more involved in your ecosystem. I don't really see it so much as a business decision as it is a customer base building decision. At a certain point, you slash the prices of your stuff just to have a lower point of entry for people who might not have it yet.
Yeah. I mean,
and the more people playing your stuff, the better. That's the bottom line.
Again, in comparison to the Pikachu and the Jigglypuff, I mean, I'm waiting for Skyrim to go down in price before I grab it. The same with Dishonored 2. I'm going to wait till those go down, but that's
another discussion as well, because a lot of those prices bottom out because no one's fucking buying them. Titanfall 2. That's a sad situation, because I hear that game is great, but it did not do well. So, I think we're done with ARMS, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So, some other launch window stuff. Disgaea 5, they didn't discuss that at the Switch event. Lego City Undercover, they didn't discuss it at the Switch event, which they shouldn't.
Like games, I think they showed a brief thing. Like, I saw like at one point Legos and Lego people were doing something.
Like, Lego City Undercover and Rayman. Rayman Legends is also coming out on the Switch. And I think that one actually might be a launch game. But
What price point they're releasing that?
I have no idea. That's between Ubisoft and whatever god they worship. And but see, like, Rayman Legends is a good game.
It is a very good game.
If you haven't played it yet, don't wait for this. Go play. Go find Rayman Legends. And
yeah,
play
no
it.
Reason to wait for the Switch for it.
One thing.
If you got Wii U, grab it. I don't know why you haven't had it by now.
Something else nice that I will say about this presentation is that they did not do the thing where they showed Wii U ports that are coming to the Switch. They didn't show Lego City Undercover. They didn't give it any sort of main attention anyway. They didn't show Rayman Legends. They didn't show like if they were going to do a Wii U port of Smash. They didn't show if they were. They didn't heavily emphasize Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Which, speaking of Smash, $20 says the armed Springman dude shows up in the next Smash Brothers.
I'm not taking that bet. That's a good call. I think he's a shoo-in for
that. With a Ribbon Girl alternate skin.
Unless they're both in there, because they just love to pack characters into that
God.
Game. But yeah, I think that's a good call. That could have some interesting Smash mechanics. Because it would be, you would think it'd be like the opposite of like a Little Mac. It's a character that's all based on distance and taking people out from far away. And like once you get closer
maybe
up.
Maybe you can do little punches when you're here, but then like his over bees or his punch goes out.
Sure, yeah, maybe.
You know, things like that.
Him and Proto Man. Both those characters are in the next Smash.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Proto Man?
Yep.
But not suck like Mega Man does?
Oh, you don't like Mega Man?
No, I don't like Mega Man. Mm. He's clunky.
Okay. What were we saying? Oh, so they didn't show like these possible Wii U ports to Switch, which I think is a good thing, because what you don't want to do is like, hey, look at our new system. You can play all the other games on it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to highlight that in your presentation. They just should have found some more new stuff to highlight. But Shovel Knight also coming to the Switch. This comes called Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. Puyo Puyo Tetris, Sonic Mania, who gives a shit? Binding of Isaac and Redout, which are two games from Nicolas. What else did they show in the presentation that we want to talk about? They showed Splatoon 2.
They showed Splatoon 2, which does look pretty cool.
Yeah, and it is very similar looking to Splatoon 1, but I they must have enough new content in there to justify...
The demonstration they did for the Splatoon.
Well, that guy was
such a huge contrast, such a huge difference to the rest. Like, even like the weird gimmicky magic show thing that the guy did still had like some kind of like
but the guy...
a certain way that they're doing this sort of thing. And then the dude comes out with like the professor coat and the two guns. He's like, we discovered a new type of squid.
and he really stuck to that bit. Which
he really
was
did.
Good
and
for
they
him.
Did, like a weird pose, like two.
That guy had the most personality, except for like maybe Suda51, whose personality is a toolbox.
Oh my god, but I hated him so much, but at the same time, like, rock on, buddy. Keep doing your thing. You do you, bud.
This was the sort of like tone that Nintendo needs to take. Like, this is it was like he was out of a Nintendo Direct. Like, just that stupid, weird, silly tone. This was Miyamoto and Iwata showing up at E3 in cat ears and cat paws. Like, this was perfect.
And the guy, like, translating it didn't even take it seriously. Like, this tone was way off with the way he was posing.
Well,
we gotta
talk about this.
I found a new type of squid. Oh, my God.
we gotta talk about the translators for a second. Because it seemed like the translators were just straight translating the things that people were saying. Mm-hmm. They clearly did not have any scripted translations beforehand. So
they
could
it seemed like they were doing it right there on the spot. They were listening and then saying it.
And getting back to, keep on going back to Suda51, the translator had no idea what the fuck that guy was saying. The translator was totally lost. And they should have
just tired the night before. He's
well,
like,
Suda,
fuck, I gotta do this Nintendo thing.
Suda was still drunk. The translator was hungover. I don't know. Like the translation, like it needed work. Like
It seemed so the non-enthusiastic.
The parts of personality was the Splatoon 2 guy, and then when they cut over to Reggie, Miyamoto, and Anuma talking about Zelda, which was a cool part. Because it was like, hey, look, three people we know.
Miyamoto, what are you doing here?
It's so fucking stupid.
And then the one guy pops out from the lab machine. What's up?
Surprise!
I'm holding a Switch. Like, it's...
It's so good when they just let themselves be dumb.
Like, oh yeah, that's right. We make video games for a living.
Yeah. Well, the rest of the presentation, and this is one of the more negative aspects in my mind, is that it was just really dry. It was really dry and joyless. Like, hey, here's our stuff. And a lot of that might come from the translation and the fact that you couldn't hear any sort of audience reaction. Like, what's the point of doing a live press conference
if you're not... Which made that Splatoon guy look even more ridiculous.
Right. Maybe the audience loved it, but we couldn't hear a damn thing that they were saying.
I had no idea. We just see him doing weird poses and then crickets.
But Splatoon 2. And it seems like they think there's enough here to differentiate it from Splatoon 1. Like, they have new guns, new techniques. Like, you have the dual-wielding gun that will, like, fire in different directions. Mm-hmm. There's also, like, jump dodges in multiple directions. So you can dodge by, like, going into the ink. And you can also just do, like, dodge maneuvers.
They seem to have, like, different... more of a moveset in certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, the roller now will splash or slam down on a dude. Was that a thing in the regular one?
It was. It wasn't very good, though. So Hopefully they've improved it.
It looked viable.
Yeah, new weapons, new, like, side weapons, like the rain cloud thing.
Yeah, they had, like, mega weapons as well. Like, mm-hmm. they had the... I can't remember a lot.
Which they had in the original Splatoon, and they added a lot to them over the lifespan of the game. I didn't stick around for the entire thing. But, like, they new stages, new courses, so... Yeah. I assume there's probably going to be a new single-player mode. I mean, they better be if they're calling this a sequel, but... This is like their big online competitive thing, and I think that it's interesting to see within the launch lineup something like ARMS, which has online play, Splatoon 2, as well as Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So they're going in pretty hard with some online stuff, at least from first party perspective.
Mm-hmm. Then after the Splatoon, they did.
Did they have that little sizzle, like not really a sizzle reel, but it was like extended, like. Brief announcements like Xenoblade 2. Was that what was next? Chronologically speaking,
let's just talk about that next. I think that was. So I'm sitting here at work with my phone in my hand. You're bugging me to watch this over and over and over via text. I was like, fine, I'll fucking watch this. So I'm trying to watch this, sitting in the front of my store working. Somebody walk in, pause. Hey, how you doing today? All right, let's go get your shit. Like, then unpause. Let's go.
Which is exactly how you talk to customers.
Oh, yeah, let's go get your shit. Let's go. Get the fuck out of my store. Your kid can't play with my helicopters, all right? He's just going to break them. Let's go. Come on.
Can't believe they still make those.
Helicopters?
Yeah.
We have, like, drones.
Not, like,
which
real
is fine.
Helicopters.
If you
want to
try them out, you can't go fly the drones.
But you better fucking buy one.
Then you get the idiot kid who walks in. Like, mom's walking around the mall. I just came here to fly every single one of your drones and crash them in the wall repeatedly. Fuck. Like, all right. And then the Xenoblade clip came on, which they announced at the end of it. And I'm sitting here watching this like, oh, this looks like a Xenoblade.
They started...
It seemed a little off. So I'm like, if anything, the guy who made this was probably involved in Xenoblade. Because it looks just like it.
They started with the Monolith Soft logo. Yeah. And that was
see that.
They started with that, and then as soon as they showed that, I let out an audible "oh fuck!" Like in the middle of the night, like it was like 11:30 at night, like oh shit, here we go. And yeah, the game looks like Xenoblade to be sure. It has like big open areas, naturalistic environments. The character models have changed up
a little bit.
It's definitely more anime now, which I think like. The general consensus is that the character models in the Xenoblade games were kind of weak. So going with a more
like them from Xenoblade 1.
I think like they have a little bit of melty face. Like they all look like they got a little bit
Wii,
of a glimpse.
Like early lifespan of the Wii.
Even Xenoblade Chronicles X. Like they still have like the little droopy eyes. Which it looks like they all took a little peek at the Ark of the Covenant. It's you know, Monolith is really good at creating these big, expansive worlds, like gorgeous worlds that are really fun to move around and look at. They're not good at making faces.
Yeah.
So they went with a more stylized look, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. And then they went, and then it popped up, said Xenoblade 2.
Like, Xenoblade 2! Right. The third Xenoblade game is called Xenoblade 2.
Yeah, I was like, alright, cool. And then they did that brief little kind of shot of Fire Emblem. You're like, you're seeing all these different color orbs going to a shield and everything. I'm like, alright.
Yeah, and had the Fire Emblem music going.
And then the dude drew the, I forget the name of the sword from Awakening.
Ragnall?
No, from Awakening. It was that Marth sword.
It's not coming to me. Let's move on.
I forget the name of it. But then they draw that, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Ragnall.
It's a Fire Emblem. Cool. And then the dude started talking again, and...
The customer.
No. The actual presentation guy. And he's like, here's these new games, Xenoblade 2 and Fire Emblem Warriors. And as soon as he said Fire Emblem Warriors, I let out an audible as well. Kind of like a spit take, but I wasn't drinking anything, but I was still in the middle of my story. I went, oh, fuck. Like, it's like, that caught me off guard. I was not expecting that, but that is fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. Because we played quite a bit of Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
And Fire Emblem Warriors, I mean, I imagine it's a Musou game. It's going to play very similarly, but with Fire Emblem characters. And you get, like, really crazy stuff with different character classes, like knights and mages and archers. Like, how's an archer going to work in that game? I don't know, but I can't wait to find out.
I'm playing one. That's the first thing I'm playing is an archer. Those are my favorite things. Oh, my God. It's going to be so fucking good.
But, yeah, they didn't show, like, any in-game footage, which I think the game right now is slated to be released TBA. So no release date. I wouldn't be surprised.
2018.
We don't see that one until 2018.
We're not going to see that for a while.
Which is a shame. That's a bummer. And I think that's the thing, is that we don't know... There's not a plethora of especially third-party stuff to play between now and E3. And we don't know much solid after E3, which I think would have been okay if they said, between March and June, here's fucking 12 games that are must-plays. Like, here is our launch lineup and launch window, and it's awesome. So, see you at E3, everybody. But that's not what it was. Like, all these games that we're about to talk about, like all this quick announce stuff, they all look fucking great. But they're all coming out in fucking 2018 or later.
Oh, yeah. Again, it seems like Nintendo made their system and then, like, went, oh, fuck, we forgot to tell the developers.
Yeah.
I knew we forgot something. Jimmy, that was your job. Did you call them Sega? Well, fuck them anyways. It's okay, we got Breath of the Wild, guys. It's fine. We'll salvage this.
And it's really unfortunate that seems to be the case, because I agree. I don't think that they had too many publishers and developers on board early enough to get a lot of stuff available quickly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that doesn't bode well for the general health of the system within the first year.
The developers were so boring. Like, I just skipped it. And, like, after 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what the Sega guy has to say.
He had nothing to say. We'll get to that in a second. Let's talk about some cool stuff before we shit all over Sega in a second. So, Fire Emblem Warriors, that's a must play. Probably next year. We'll see. Xenoblade 2, which looks really awesome. It looks like, I think it's called Xenoblade 2 because it is going to be a more structured game around a narrative more than Xenoblade Chronicles.
So
it's going to be more like Xenoblade Chronicles for Wii, where you have a definite path that you want to be following. Whereas Xenoblade Chronicles X, the story was an afterthought. Like, the progression to credits was like, sure, you can do these things whenever you feel like it, but the game was more like, get out there and just find shit. Get out there and do stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is totally fine. I really like them both, but I think, like, we might have...
Which one do you prefer? Oh, I never asked you this.
Ooh, that'd be like asking me... Really, they're so different. That'd be like asking me if I prefer Fire Emblem or Advance Wars. I like them both. I probably spent more time in Xenoblade Chronicles. I would be more likely to I spent more time in Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah.
I would be more likely to replay Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
In a sort of dodgy way?
Yep. It actually does.
But Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
I still need to get back and actually beat that game.
It's so good.
Holy hell, I need to beat that game. Just now I look at it on the Wii and just, it's like dark and the graphics aren't great. I'm just like, should I just buy this for my 3DS? I don't want to play this on a portable.
I think that maybe if you had a new 3DS, well, you'd have to have a new 3DS. It's a new 3DS exclusive.
Yeah, I know.
So, anyway, I think that we might be looking at sort of like a split series, kind of like Mega Man, Mega Man X, where you have the Xenoblade Chronicles numbered series that sort of follows that narrative-centric method of progression. And then you have the X series, which maybe we'll get another Xenoblade Chronicles X one day, Xenoblade Chronicles X2 or whatever.
Well, the last X2 was garbage.
Well, you had Mega Man X2, which is pretty good.
I'm sure that was all right.
Yeah.
But I was referring to Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I know. I was going to pretend that one didn't exist. And I don't know, maybe we see another one of those one day where it's more about exploring this open world. And maybe, you know, they make the text a little bit bigger next time because tiny little text. Like one of the rumors that was floating around before this Switch presentation was that Xenoblade Chronicles was going to be ported to the Switch.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles X. Now I'm even confusing the names.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Like an HD remake of Xenoblade Chronicles would be great.
That'd be amazing.
A Xenoblade Chronicles X port would be cool as well, but they'd really have to do something about like the interface, just like enlarging the text size. Because you imagine like tiny little text on the handheld screen. Yeah. It would be a nightmare. But I don't know. I mean, after this presentation, maybe they do all of these Switch or Wii U to Switch ports that people have been rumoring. Maybe they don't. Maybe people are overestimating how many games Nintendo is going to bring over to Switch from Wii U. I think it makes a little bit of sense, too, to give some games a second life on the system. I don't know, maybe they're waiting till after year one of the Switch and use Wii U ports to maybe pad out the library a little bit after year one. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. What else? What else was in that little... Oh, it was Shin Megami Tensei. That was the one I wanted to talk about.
Which again, was just a very brief little...
And again, the release date for that one is TBA.
Who's that golden dude?
That motherfucker is Odin.
Okay.
That motherfucker,
I never played the Shin Megami Tenseis, but like based on the creatures that are moving around, I was like, oh, this must be a Shin Megami. And then that golden dude showed up, and I didn't know who he was. So I'm like, oh, I guess it's not. And they're like, this is a Shin Megami Tensei. I was like, what the fuck's going on right now?
Yeah, that's Odin. He was one of the main antagonists in Shin Megami Tensei Apocalypse. Mm. And yeah, and then that game is really good. But he actually ended up on my final team, or close to ended up on my final team. He was one of the guys that I wouldn't fuse to make other demons, because as I was playing that game, I did the one thing that I said I was never going to do again in the Shin Megami Tensei game. I got attached to certain demons like they were Pokemon.
Oh, God.
So like there's this dragon whose name is Long, and he's sort of like a mid-tier, I would say, a demon, but I refused to fuse him with anything. He's like, no, this is my dragon. He's staying with me. I like Odin and Loki. Loki's not very good. Like, he's sort of like a lower mid-tier, I would say. Like you get these things like at corresponding levels. Like, when you get Loki, you're probably, God, if I remember correctly, level 45 or 50. Mm-hmm. Long, like a level 55 or 60. And you're ending the game at level 99.
No.
So yeah. This is like mid-game stuff that you're getting. And like Odin's like in the 80s, so you're getting him close to the end game, but you can definitely get some stronger stuff. Anyway, we're in the weeds. I'm excited about the Shin Megami Tensei game when it inevitably comes out in late 2018.
Is there anything in particular you hope they bring to it? Do you hope they keep it like the same kind of thing, or is it essentially just pictures of demons and then you just see them flash when you hit them with stuff? Or would you like to actually see like 3D modeling and them actually fight like a typical RPG nowadays, like a Pokemon?
I would be okay with either one. I think it would be cool to see, like, even if they were just like sprites, if they weren't necessarily 3D models, but if like they had really nice sprite work and like Fire Emblem, where you see them battling each other like that, except not quite as it's a turn-taking game, but not quite as slow paced as a Fire Emblem. I think that a lot of the changes that they made in Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse would be nice to see, like the more streamlined and user-friendly negotiation system, being able to re-recruit demons easier, a fucking functional map would be great. But yeah, this is a series that I've gotten pretty into recently with the DS entries. I'm pretty excited that they are bringing this to the Switch. Again, there was no in-game footage, so we are a ways out from this. It's unfortunate that
the Switch is... Like, even, worded it that way. It was like, we're lucky they gave us this. Like, fuck, are you...
Because there's nothing else. Atlas does have a way of pumping out games quickly. I don't think we're going to be looking at one of those scenarios here. Because, well, the last time Nintendo and Atlas announced a collaboration, it was Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem, which, ironically, we got an announcement of a Fire Emblem crossover game and a Shin Megami Tensei game in this presentation, funnily enough. But they announced a crossover game between those two franchises, and it turned out to be Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which I think came out 2.5, maybe 3 years after they first said it was happening. Hopefully they're not waiting quite that long, but we'll see. Oh, and I did want to talk about Square Enix's presence really quick. Because I think this was where we're getting into like the sort of like developer thing where they talked about this developer is doing this, and they brought up representatives from the different development companies.
All of them looked incredibly uncomfortable, like they didn't want to be there.
Right.
Like,
and
I'm completely unprepared.
Some of them shouldn't have been there.
But, I mean, they look like little kids who did do their book report. Uh-huh. Like, ah, shit, I completely unprepared.
Some of
for
them
this.
Didn't do their book reports. Fucking Sega. Let's not start with Sega. Let's start with Square Enix, which is a little bit happier, but a bit disappointing. It reminds me of this because I wish that Atlas was also bringing Persona 5 to the Switch. That would be really cool. But it is not happening and seems unlikely to happen in the future. So Square Enix was there, and they said, like, yeah, you already know that Square Enix is indeed bringing Dragon Quest X to the Switch, which is their MMO. They're also bringing...
And 11.
And 11. And then they announced that game, Octopath Travelers. They also said that Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 are coming to the Switch, which is a Warriors, a Musou game with Dragon Quest characters. I'm far less interested in that. I think I have room in my heart for one Musou game per system library. So unless they do something really surprising, like make a Fire Emblem one and then make, I don't know, a Star Fox one. I might buy the Star Fox one just out of like the sheer weirdness of it.
Dragon Quest in space.
No, I'm talking about a Warriors game. Dragon Quest.
Oh, I was completely confused for that.
Dragon Quest 11, if there is nothing else coming out in that time frame, like the month before and the month after, I might get Dragon Quest XI because it's been a long time since I tried a Dragon Quest game. I say that now. As it gets closer, I'll see how I feel. Because we've talked about my abusive relationship with Dragon Quest in the past. I might go back to them, Wes. Don't let me. Stop me, Wes. You're not stopping me.
You know, they have, like, centers that you can go to for this sort of thing. To get
go
away from abusive relationships.
Go to a battered women's center.
You could. What are you doing here, Dragon
Quest? Fucking
Dragon
Quest.
Oh, okay, we got a special corner for you. We got a special spot for you in the corner. Join the others.
But Octopath Travelers. I don't think they talked about this the exact same
time. Well, they called
it,
like, Project Octopath Travelers. So I don't know if that's going to be the actual name of it. It seems like kind of, like, Project Rainbow, like whatever they were called.
I mean, Square Enix does like to name things weird stuff, so...
Yeah.
And again...
Octopath, like, what the hell?
Right, it's so
That's
weird.
Not catchy at all. Like, it makes you... What the hell?
And they turned Bravely Default into a series.
Yeah.
You know? Like, all right, this is the thing now. So, and this game, like, has really nice looking sprite work and 2D animation. This game looks really, really cool. Again...
It's like a retro, new twist on a retro style.
Yeah. And again, this looks like it's a game that it feels like it's a long way off.
Which the announcer guy was kind of telling me, like, their new graphic system. Like, he made it sound like it was some, like, groundbreaking thing. Like, this is really cool what they're doing with the graphics.
It's new, and it's old again.
They're fucking sprites. What's new about this?
Fucking beautiful looking sprites.
Oh,
yeah,
they looked really cool, and they had some 3D depth to it shots here. I was like, cool, but like it blew like way out of proportion.
There's
like,
quite a
sprites.
There's quite a bit of fanfare. Yeah. But when they were talking about Square Enix, I'm like, hey, and Square Enix has this other thing that's coming to it. Like for those brief seconds, I was holding my breath. Final Fantasy 15. Final Fantasy 15. Come on, Square and Nintendo, back together. And no Final Fantasy 15. Not announced. Seems unlikely at this point, because Like, if Final Fantasy 15 were coming to the system, you'd think they'd be like, fuck yeah, here it comes.
It does look pretty good.
15, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by
I'll get it when it gets cheaper.
Yeah, and by most accounts, it's a pretty good game. It's, you know, flawed, but good.
Yeah. You'll hear about it on Mini Show in a few months.
Yeah. Maybe I'll buy it from my parents' PS4 and go over there and play Final Fantasy 15 at my parents' house.
Oh, God.
Like I'm fucking 16 again. So, let's get into that developer, whatever the fuck that thing was. Who all did they have there? They had Sega. Let's start with Sega.
I skipped through them. Because after, like, Sega, I went to the next one. I was like, this is a complete gibberish. I'm just skip ahead until they get to something more relevant for me. But I did skip that. I didn't pay attention to what they were saying.
He said nothing. Then I felt, well, I don't feel that bad for that Sega representative, because fuck, I mean, works for Sega.
The developers either had that kind of look of, like, annoyed that they're there, or scared out of their minds. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back, it probably was the funniest segment of the entire show.
Yeah, I guess. You gotta laugh so you don't cry at fucking that shit. But the Sega guy said, hey, this looks like a great system, and we can't wait to bring games to it. The end. Not a single fucking game. Like, he didn't even say, like, hey, we're thinking about making this. Like Suda got up there and was like, I'm thinking about making a game starring Travis Touchdown. Like, you came up here to announce you're thinking about making something? Like, what? Get the fuck out of here. Go away.
Just give us No More Heroes and go back into your corner until you come out with number four. I mean, that's just...
Right, and if he makes a Travis Touchdown game and it's not No More Heroes, it's some sort of like weird like fighting game spin-off kind of thing, like, fuck you, I will find you. I will find you, motherfucker. And I will go full Travis Touchdown on your ass. Unless it's like that Burger Time minigame, I'd be okay with that. You remember that one from No More Heroes 2?
Just an in-depth.
Yeah.
Travis Touchdown has opened a burger restaurant, and we have to manage it. And
yeah, that'd be good.
Okay with it.
Yeah. And all your customers are the previous bosses that you fought, including that guy that you cut in half.
Oh, you...
No, and then showed up in the next game, was like the, like two guys, like robot halves.
Yep. He shows up in the game after that, as if there's four of them.
Yeah, there you go.
So two of them are actual robots.
How did you end up killing him the second time? Did he cut him in half again?
I can't remember. Like, the chick kills him. Like, I think she chops him up.
Shinobi. Yeah, because you have to fight him as Shinobi, don't you?
Yeah, she chops him up or something. Which, that was a really annoying fight.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that
it
one.
It wasn't
yeah.
fun. It was just pure annoying. Like, one's in your face and the other's, like, shooting you from afar. Like, this is obnoxious.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, hopefully they are working on a No More Heroes game. They're just not wanting to show it yet. So, who was the other one? Oh, EA. EA was there, and they talked about FIFA.
God.
Which,
who cares?
Fucking thanks. Great, FIFA. I'm sure that's appealing to some people, and there are people who are interested in playing sports games.
You take the Joy-Con, you tie it to your foot. Make sure you push all the couches to the corners.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about?
Try not to kick any children in the face.
The Joy-Con has that wrist strap.
Yeah.
Piece that comes with it that actually extends the...
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Because I was worried that I was going to develop some kind of weird misshaping claw using this thing.
Yeah, it gives it like more pronounced shoulder buttons, which is great, and it makes it a little bit bigger, which
yeah.
I think is good.
That was cool.
Yeah.
There you go. Rock on.
That's the first time I've been excited to see a wrist strap.
It was really funny that how they announced it, though, because they're sitting there showing it. It slides on like this. You put the wrist strap on. This is how you tie the wrist strap.
Was,
like, we figured it out. We know wrist straps at this point.
It
We're
was
good.
For such casuals. And, you know, it gets back to, I think I was making this point earlier, about who this presentation was for. Like, this presentation was not for people who are playing a lot of video games. This presentation was for, you know, Frank McGillicuddy, who works for the Des Moines Inquirer, and who's going back and writing a tech piece about a video game system when he usually writes about sports or something.
Yeah.
You know, this was spelling it out really simply for people who don't understand how these things usually work. And that's not what they should have been going for here. They should have been going for, you saw our video, you know what this thing basically does, there's a few more features, we're going to talk about them later, here's a fuck ton of games. And I don't know if they went this direction because they are going for the more casual audience, or maybe they just didn't have the games to talk about, which would be really discouraging considering how early they pulled the plug on the Wii U and that they don't have a whole lot that's ready. But I think after that, I think that was when they finished off with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fuck yeah, it's Zelda. We're gonna be,
that was really like the strongest part of the whole thing.
Yeah, and it fucking needed to be.
They showed a new, really good trailer for it, mm-hmm. which even went more in-depth about the game.
Yep.
They had fun with it by showing Miyamoto and the other guy, which I can't Anuma. Remember his name.
Yeah.
Anuma.
Yep.
I don't know their names.
That's okay.
I'm too American. I just can't do it.
It takes a special sort of niche person to like memorize the names of video game developers. Like even like most people who play video games probably can only name a handful of developers. Like
yeah,
people who
I just don't know them. Yeah, it's fine.
Yep.
But so, they showed up.
Yeah, and that was a cool part. I think we talked a little bit about the Breath of the Wild trailer already. Like that and Mario were the huge highlights. The other stuff, Fire Emblem Warriors and Xenoblade and Octopath, like all this stuff looks cool, but it doesn't have the sort of mass appeal that something like a Beyond Good and Evil 2 would have had. Or like, I don't know, what is it that they were really missing here? Like I think that they really needed something that looks a little bit more Western in order to get a broader appeal, because I think like, you know, with ones like Fire Emblem and Xenoblade, you have people who are really into, and in Breath of the Wild, you've like done all the service that you need to do right now for people who are really into Japanese gaming. Yeah. But what do you like, they got, oh, that was the fourth developer we didn't talk about, Bethesda, the guy from Bethesda came out.
Oh, I
was like, hey, yeah, we're
skipped it.
Yeah, well, he wasn't on stage. They cut to a video. Oh. And I was like, hey, I'm really excited to bring Skyrim to the Nintendo Switch. I'm like, you know what? I'm excited to play it, Mr. Buggy Game. And I think that
screw
one's right
you,
now.
Just screw you. It's I think not, it's... You over... It's not that buggy. Holy crap. You make it sound like it's unplayable.
My lemonade isn't that much pee. It's just a little bit. So, I think
but
that one's
still gonna drink it.
Yeah. I think it's slated to come out in the fall. And, you know, I'll give it a shot. And maybe by fall, I will be done with Breath of the Wild. So, I'll be ready to jump into another big open world game. So.
Which, after Mario being another big open world game.
I think Mario is probably a bit more structured than.
It is. It is.
I think that city is probably your hub. And I'm excited to see how big that hub actually is. But then, like, the other environments that they were showing Mario into, they're probably a bit more structured, like a Mario 64. Maybe they'll be a bit bigger, but I think it's going to be a situation where you're accessing these different world areas and collecting stuff, like stars, by doing different tasks in them.
Yeah, and those weird purple pizza slices. I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, purple pizza slices. Let's just go with that, and that's exactly what they were.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, what the hell was with Bowser?
He's very formal.
He looked like a pimp.
He's very formal. Yes.
Peach is his hoe.
Yeah.
And
did he have a cane or I'm misremembering?
I think he had a cane.
I think our minds might be filling in the gaps there because we want him to be holding a cane.
he's got the top hat and Bowser's now a pimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. So I'm gonna run down a list of other confirmed games here outside of the launch window. So we're looking like after spring. So. They really have to bring it at E3. They're going to sell out their first initial shipment, and they'll probably move a good number of units within the first couple months just selling to their hardcore fans. They really have to bring it at E3. They have to bring it to E3. They have to show a lot of games, and they have to give everyone else on the planet a reason, like, this is why you're going to want this thing. Because they didn't do it here. But we already talked about Splatoon 2. NBA 2K18, Skyrim we talked about, Mario Odyssey, that's Holiday, FIFA we talked about, some game called Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap. That doesn't sound very interesting at
that
all.
That's a terrible name.
A couple of Sonic games, Nobunaga's Ambition, as well as Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Those are never coming out of Japan. You can import them. You can import them now and not have to mod your system because it is region-free.
And learn Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Dragon Quest, where we talked about Minecraft, as well as Minecraft Story Mode. Steep, which is a Ubisoft skiing game, I believe. Rayman, Ultra Street Fighter 2, which is not Street Fighter 5, which is understandable because I think Sony helped fund Street Fighter 5, but it's an edition of Street Fighter 2, which, okay, I didn't know they were still making editions of Street Fighter 2. Bandai Namco is bringing a Tails game. It is as yet unnamed, so don't expect to see that one for quite a few years. There's a farming simulator, a game called Rime. Shinan is bringing another racing game to the Switch, which is cool. Shinan does pretty cool stuff. Fast Racing Neo is hard as balls. Stardew Valley, Blaze Blue, Story of Seasons, a few other indie games, one called Kingdom or something, yeah. I mean...
No F-Zero.
No F-Zero. F-Zero's dead. Oh, well, but let's get back to what they absolutely needed to show. I think they, like, if Beyond Good and Evil 2 is a thing that exists, and it is indeed coming to Switch, they should have showed it, or said something. They should have found some way to get Ubisoft, like, to say something about this game. Because at this point, even if they did a Suda 51 and said, like, hey, like, it would have been better than Suda 51, because, like, hey, this is actually a game that exists, and we're going to bring it to the Switch, but we have nothing to show right now. It would have been something. I mean, Sony gets away with showing, like, doing a Kickstarter, launching a Kickstarter at their E3 presentation for Shenmue, and showing games like Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy VII Remake, which are still a long ways off from actually coming out.
Dear God, what's taking them so long? I want both those games.
Well, it's not going to be this year.
No.
Hold your breath for next one.
Stupid.
PS5.
Oh my God, I swear, Kingdom Hearts 3 gets pushed to PS5.
Hey, oh you know,
don't maybe, even, oh, that scares me.
Maybe it'll come out on the PS4 Pro too.
Oh my God. If they keep on doing hardware revisions.
The PS4 Scorpio. So,
Scorpio.
I think that'd be good. I think that, like, every time, like, they have some sort of presentation, whether it's like an E3 one or a big Nintendo Direct, people are always saying, like, hey, this is where we're going to see what Retro is up to. What's Retro doing? Retro never shows up in a timely manner. Retro never shows up when people want them to. So it would have been nice to see what Retro was up to, especially if it was a Metroid, but I really wasn't expecting Retro. I'm not really expecting Retro to show up at E3 either, because Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out in 2014. By most accounts, it was done the year before. They just pushed the release date to pad out their schedule a little bit. So they've had...
I mean, they always release games at a very bizarre time. They're like, oh, there's randomly a new Metroid. All right, that's okay. They just kind of pop up here and there.
The last Metroid that Retro did was Corruption, which is 2009.
Yeah.
So we're a ways out from that. And Other M was... Oh, no, Corruption was earlier than that. Corruption might have been 2007. God, are we 10 years out from the last Retro Metroid?
A Metroid.
Yeah. I mean, Other M, I think, was 2010. So, we're like 7 years removed from the last, like, traditional Metroid game. And, yeah, it's if they have a Metroid in the pipeline, they needed to show it. They needed to show something for that Western audience, even if it was something that's still also very Japanese, like a Metroid game. Mm-hmm. They were missing like 4 or 5 big announcements. Like, they needed to show big games, and games like Shin Megami Tensei, as much as I love that series, doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Games like Fire Emblem Warriors, as much as I love Fire Emblem, it doesn't count as a big game. That's an important game to me. That game,
their big games with Breath of the Wild and Mario. That was it. They showed 2 games.
And one of them, well, we already knew about both of them. We just didn't know exactly what Mario was. Because they showed that at the Switch reveal video that they did.
Yeah.
So, and I think that a lot of things that people took away from this one was how long that they spent actually talking about the tech rather than games. And that the cure for that was just to talk about games. Like, I don't think that this was necessary the platform.
Well, they could have left the developers completely out and just put more games in it.
Yeah.
We didn't need to hear from any of those. They said nothing controversial.
Yeah, if they had actual games to talk about. I think that's the most concerning thing. Like, if this is the approach they took, do they have stuff that they want to talk about? And I don't think we have any reason to believe that they do, because if they did, why didn't they fucking say it? You know, this was your chance to make that big impression after you got so much positive feedback from the reveal video back in October, and from the, like, they brought the switch onto the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon in December. Like, the, you had momentum. Like, there was a little bit of a trip up with a lot of, like, rumors were all over the place end of December, beginning of January about, like, the Switch power and, like, the tech inside the Switch, and it got some people, like, raising their eyebrows. I think that, you know, some of that has been laid to rest after this in the Treehouse demos, but we'll see. This was your big chance to be like, you know, we'll talk about the tech stuff later. Here's the stuff that you're going to want to play. Because that's the way to shut everybody up about the whole tech side. Like, sure, it might not be as powerful as you want it to be, but look at these great games that you're going to play. You're not going to care. So I think that, and as we were texting, like, I was texting you, like, they really shot themselves in the foot. And you're, like, waiting for this one moment, like, okay, what the fuck did they do? What did they screw up? They just screwed up by not showing enough. Like, there's not enough stuff coming out between March and June. Like, not enough, like, really big, interesting, mainstream stuff to make this thing a must-buy for a lot of people. I think that a lot of people now are taking the approach like, okay, well, I'll wait and see. Like, I can play Breath of the Wild later. I'll wait until Mario or something. Or I'll see how third-party support is shaking out.
Yeah.
And they could have fixed it by just having more games.
We should run Nintendo. We should run them.
Okay.
We should.
I'll take over.
Should we do this like pirates and just go and commandeer the corporate headquarters or something?
Maybe we could, like...
You're gonna edit this pause out or you're gonna keep it in?
No. I'm trying to find a nice way of saying, like, eliminate Kimoshiki.
Oh my god.
I don't want to eliminate him. I just want to use him as a puppet. Like, he can still be alive, just like unconscious.
Brain control chip.
Yeah, bro, there you go, brain control chip, yes.
That's how we do it.
We have those. Yeah. Those are fucking, I mean, Walgreens.
Yeah, it's, you know, it gets a mirror appearance from cell phones, but as long as he doesn't get a phone call, you shouldn't go on that murder civil rampage.
He's old. He doesn't have a cell phone.
Oh, that's a good point. What are these things?
Where's the rotary?
Doesn't understand what cell phones are. Yeah, but he sells video game consoles.
Yeah, okay. It's fine. It's totally fine.
He looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there we go. There's a mini show. I don't think we're gonna talk about any games on the show. This will just be the Switch show. But we'll definitely do another show where we actually talk about some games, because we got games to talk about, which will be a much happier show. And I don't know, like after discussing it, we're not super down on the thing. Like,
no, we're still gonna get it.
I mean, yeah, I'm
gonna save up some money using. Been my tax refund, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been your financial advisor. We're gonna plan this out.
We're gonna do this.
I did get one reserved.
Yep.
The morning after,
I had to kill a few guys. But.
Yeah. Not Kimishima. He's fine. The morning after, I jumped onto Amazon. Of course, it was all gone there. I went over to GameStop's website, and they were all out, and none of the stores in the area had any left. I checked out Best Buy. And they didn't have any available pre-orders through their online service, but they were able to direct me to the next clearest store, the next closest store that had pre-orders available. And it was 60 miles away.
Which, you know, is worth it.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Let's do a road trip.
The thing is...
Call me up, hey, I'm going to go get my Switch. You want to come? Like, let's road trip, buddy. I'll bring the jerky.
The thing is, I did reserve it. I was like, okay. I'll make a road trip. I will go get a Switch to have it at launch. And I reserved it. I paid for it. Everything was done. But then a few minutes later just on an impulse, I was like, you know what? Let me check Target. And Target had them available for pre-order just on their website with shipping. And they could, for an extra 10 or 15 bucks, they would ship it to me on launch day. And it would get to me on launch day. I was like, you know what? Yeah, that's a lot more worth it to me than driving 60 miles out to a Best Buy.
It'll be more than that in gas.
Yeah. So I canceled my Best Buy one and I reserved it through Target.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean it's gonna be fun. Playing Breath of the Wild is gonna be a lot of fun, and I think the other games I'm gonna get close to or at launch is going to be the I Am Setsuna RPG, as well as I think I'm leaning toward getting Bomberman. I think I might give it a shot because I think that one might be a fun multiplayer one.
Yeah, which is always good.
Yeah. I'm probably going to get ARMS. I'll probably get Mario Kart just for, you know, to play with Dez. Then after that, it'll be E3 at that point. And I think Splatoon is going to be their summer game. I'm thinking Splatoon might be August. I don't know if it's going to be as soon as July. Do you remember
the E3 that we did a podcast on with Carlos?
Oh, yeah, way back in the day.
That was such a good
That was a good E3. Yeah, that was
such a good E3.
That was the 2010 E3 where it was like GoldenEye and Kirby's Epic Yarn.
And Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong, Golden Sun.
Yeah, that was the one where Nintendo showed up all the other competitors. They're like, fuck you guys, we're good.
That was the last really great year of the Wii.
Yeah, it was.
Because like 2011, there wasn't much of anything till Skyward Sword at the end of the year. There are a couple of things here and there, but that was the game. And then 2012 was fucking... 2012 for me was a great year because it was Xenoblade and The Last Story. And then the Wii U came out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But 2012 was a barren wasteland for like mainstream Wii games. But yeah, it's kind of like the last year of the Wii U here. So, I think it's going to bring the show to a close.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Let's tap out. And I think next couple of days, we'll try to get together with Ryan and do a proper mini show where we actually talk about video games. Because I got some games to talk about.
Yeah, I got one, maybe two, if I want to talk about Dark Souls. But I mean, really, with Dark Souls, it's Dark Souls.
Okay.
It's not any different. I don't need to talk about that.
Thumbs up?
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah. And then...
Probably play it tonight when I get home.
Cool. And then Super Nintendo Show is next. That one's already recorded. We talked about that at the beginning of the month. Yeah. And then close it all out with an official show. I'm thinking for the official show, maybe when the three of us are all back together in the same room, we discuss like a top 15 Wii U and what we think should be nominated and in the running for our top 15. And
15 seems a little high, don't you think?
We did a top 15 for GameCube, we did a top 15 for Wii. Yeah.
Okay, I guess we're doing a top 15.
We did a top 14 for Wii and then retroactively added The Last Story into there because it wasn't out yet.
Oh yeah.
I think at this point we're safe to do a top 15 for the Wii for the Wii U, because there's one more game coming out for it and it's Breath of the Wild. So
yeah.
It'll probably be in
there. Although I think that one should just be disqualified.
Yeah. Should we just forget that Breath of the Wild exists for Wii U and just call it a Switch game? I'm sure Nintendo would like to do that.
I think they would.
Like they just, if there wouldn't be such like an outrage over cancellation of a Wii U version, I'm sure they would love to do it. It's like, nah, never mind. We're not even going to print these Wii U discs. Switch only. I'm sure that the Wii U run of Breath of the Wild will be really limited. Like they'll only have limited copies printed.
Think they're going to flip it like they did with the... The GameCube version of Twilight Princess?
I doubt it.
I think that'd be really funny.
That would be funny. But I think that they did that for GameCube to Wii because Link...
is left-handed.
Yeah, but then they switched it to right hand, so it would correspond more to where you're holding the Wii remote.
Oh, yeah.
So rather than just flipping Link, I don't make video games, but I assume it was easier for them just to flip everything.
Make video games.
Okay. It's easy.
We need to take over Nintendo headquarters and make video games. That's what we need to do.
Everyone can help us. Everyone can help us with this. And I will say that if everyone helps us with our Nintendo revolution here, first we'll name the next console the Revolution.
Yes, yes.
And second, we will make more Metroids than Nintendo is currently making.
And when we do this, we have to be dressed as pirates.
Of course.
Of course.
That's how everyone will have to dress when we take
over. You show up at headquarters dressed as pirate, then we commandeer it.
Yeah. And if you come as dressed as a ninja, we'll beat you, because it's not business casual day. What are you doing? Get the fuck out of here.
If you're dressed like a ninja,
There will be more NES classics available. We will make fewer amiibos, but they'll have more functionality.
Yep. They actually will matter.
We got this. We got this.
Fuck, we'll even give some people like Lil Mac like Kung Fu Grip or hit a button in the back and he punches. Like, come on, the cool stuff.
Just action figures.
Yeah, action figure amiibos. Let's do this.
You know that R-Wing amiibo that got canceled? We'll bring that out so everyone can have
it. There's an R-Wing?
They were working.
What would you do with that?
They were nothing. Like, same thing you do with every amiibo. Nothing.
You do nothing with that thing.
So you'll unlock a costume for something. Like, you'll be playing Mario Kart. You can change a kart to an Arwing. Be fine. There, that's it. But they at least had a prototype, and they decided not to make it because there were too many sharp edges, and they were worried about kids. Which to me, like, don't make them as sharp.
Don't make them sharp.
Like, there's no reason it has to, like, represent every single triangle that was in the Super Nintendo game. Just round them off. No one will get
it. Wait, it was like a retro style Arwing?
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. Even if they did like a more modern one, it still has some, you know, sharp edges to it. Yeah. But don't make them sharp. No one will give a fuck. the people that would give a fuck about something like that, the people are gonna fucking buy it anyway and complain about it. Like, who cares? You got their money. Fuck them. I think that's the end.
Yeah. On that note,
till next time, everybody.
So long.